Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Today we'll take a closer look at the state of Missouri, this through the lens of a new book aimed primarily at younger people who want to learn more about their state, or for that matter, it's also aimed at adults. It's titled Missouri Almanac 2018-2019, and two of its five authors, Carolyn Miller and John Brown, are with us. Nice to have you guys.
Thanks for having us here today.
Glad to be here.
Congratulations on the book. However, there is no book. It's not something to laugh about. Carolyn, I'll start with you. Well, we're familiar with the fact that Reedy Press, who published your book, had this awful fire a couple of weeks ago, and your book was among the victims.
It was, yes. So most of the stock of the almanac burned in that fire. However, the day after the fire, we got an email from Reedy Press talking about reprinting the book. So it was one of the first titles that they worked on reprinting, and we will have them back in stock in early January.
Some are out there now, John, already.
Yeah, there are quite a few in different stores, and I know some of the online locations have them as well. But it's just one of those things, you know, you cover a story like this, like I did, and then you realize the impact for businesses. You know, like a small business like Reedy Press is, here's a huge fire that takes out your entire inventory right before the busiest book shopping season of the year. And you're not going to get them back until after Christmas. So it was one of those weird things that a lot of companies did order, but the ones who were waiting, there just was no stock. You could see them wafting over downtown St. Louis in smoke.
It had its impact on authors as well.
Yeah,
who were waiting for that
right.
That brisk business over Christmas time. Carolyn, was there a specific need that you felt had to be filled with a book like this? I'm thinking, because it's primarily for young people, did you guys think that these kids don't know very much about their state, need to know more?
Well, the idea kind of stemmed from talking to school librarians, and they all spoke about how kids gravitated toward the National Geographic Almanac and the Guinness Book of World Records and sort of these trivia books, you know, about random things. And so we thought it'd be cool to make one all about Missouri so kids could learn about their state and where they live and where they come from. And so that's kind of where the idea came from, just sort of a random hodgepodge of trivia and facts and highlights about our state filled with lots of colorful pictures and things that would sort of grab kids' imaginations.
John, five authors.
Yeah.
We have two of the five obviously here with us in the studio. How do you coordinate something like that? That's a lot of people to keep working together.
It certainly was, and I think that's one of the unique things about this book is I always tell people you've never seen a Missouri history book like this one because you have five authors, each who have an area of expertise, whether it's at the zoo with animals and mine when it comes to town names and other places and famous people. Mm-hmm. And you just go around the room and you say, wow, there's a lot of unique expertise here. You put it together, and there was some overlap with people saying, no, wait a second, that should be in this section. You should be focusing on this section. So, yeah, combining it all was interesting. But what I find is, yeah, kids, when I did a few of the book signings, young people pick the book up. They find some interesting facts here and there. But then their parents come by and say, wait a second, Kansas City has the second most fountains in the world? Mm-hmm. You know, little things like that to where – even I looked through it. I was looking through it just before the interview today, and there are little things where you say, wow, I had no idea. Even parts that I wrote, like which automobiles were manufactured in St. Louis and which ones were manufactured across the state of Missouri. You forget little things like that. So it's a fun refresher to help you remember the great history we do have in Missouri.
Who was in charge of all of this?
Well, we sort of had a couple of captains. Andrea was sort of the captain of the group. She kind of kept us in line. She kind of emailed us out the deadlines and made sure that we were responding with our content in a timely manner. So, yeah, we definitely needed a leader to kind of rein us all in because we're all kind of big personalities and had a lot of ideas.
We should mention who the other authors are. Amanda Doyle, who is well known to us here because mm-hmm. she's done an awful lot of work on various things. She's been a guest many. Tracy Angel, another one. And you mentioned Andrea Sumi. Is that the way she pronounces
yes.
her mm-hmm. name? Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah. It's funny, too, because, you know, there'd be segments that came up. And I remember getting the email saying, who's an expert in haunted houses in Missouri? And like nobody responded. And all of a sudden they said, well, John, they're in towns and you've covered towns. So now find us the most haunted places in Missouri. And so all of a sudden I had to do the research and find all these random obscure buildings from old psychiatric hospitals in Kansas City to places down in Sedalia, Missouri. And it was funny seeing how they ranked them on a national scale. Well, this has so many, whatever, Gauss meter reading, whatever it was, and they had them all ranked. So it was kind of funny.
But you had to win on the list, I'm sure, because there are an awful lot of haunted houses.
There are enough in St. Louis, right.
Exactly. And Carolyn, your expertise is in animals because you work at the zoo. You're a carnivore keeper, is that what
I'm a carnivore keeper, so the animal section, you know, kind of went to me. I also was given outdoors in the farm since those were sort of outdoorsy animal-related topics as well.
What did you learn in your research that you didn't know before about all of this?
I learned a lot about different places that you can visit in Missouri. That's kind of one of my favorite parts of the Almanac, is that it's not only fun facts and trivia, but it can also be used as a guidebook to Missouri for families or people who want to get out and get active in our state. They can flip open the Almanac and come up with parks to visit, places to go, farms to see that they may not have heard of before. So I learned about a lot of different farms that you can take your family to. Green Dirt Farm, Chateau Milk Company, Purina Farm, of course, are some places that you can visit, many that I haven't heard of before. There's a lot of awesome state parks and city parks that we have both here in St. Louis and Kansas City to visit. And so I had a great time researching that aspect of the book and learning more about the outdoor opportunities we have in our state.
John, of course, you're well known for television work and media work here in town. There's no media section in the book.
But there are some media people. Right. You know, it pulled off of the book that I had done previously, Missouri Legends, which I wrote because and I wrote that because I said Missourians seem to have an inferiority complex. We hear of great people here and there, but don't realize how many great people and things have come out of our state. So that's why that list started getting bigger and bigger. And so some of those people were included in this. So once again, you get to see some of the just the great inventors, the actors, the politicians. So many different people have come from here. And there just weren't places where kids could see that and get motivated and say, well, I can do that because people have done that before. That, to me, was one of the great joys of doing this, along with the bizarre town names. That was the other one.
We'll get to some of that in a moment. I'm just being advised from our reporter downtown, Rachel Lippman, that we have a brand-new police chief here in the city of St. Louis. That would be John Hayden. He's a 30-year veteran of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. He's African-American, and we'll have more on that a little bit later in our discussion here as more information becomes available. So that is finally over. John, you've worked on this story yourself. Any thoughts about this?
Yeah, I was kind of tipped off last week that they thought it was going to be him. They had said that they wanted somebody from inside. It needed to be an African-American, the people thought. And this is the guy who has spent his entire career here. He grew up here, works the precincts on the north side. So this is a guy who's really engaged in community policing and said he wants his officers to be out there meeting the people, being on the streets, and being a face amongst the people there. So I think it's a choice that I thought made a lot of sense because he hasn't just seen the crime. He's worked it. This guy has done the North Precinct. He knows these neighborhoods. He knows the problem areas. So he's got a big job ahead of him, but it is interesting to see somebody. I mean, it was exactly what they were looking for, I think, and from internal.
I wouldn't like to be stepping into that job
in
St. Louis, no question about it. Let me come back to our subject here, and again, we'll have more on this a little bit later, I'm sure. What did you learn, John, that you didn't know in the issues that you covered for the book?
Mine is back to those unique town names because you see these names like Tightwad, Missouri, Novelty, Missouri. And I had lived all across the state, 20 different towns before I graduated college. So that's kind of how I got into the Missouri history. But two that stuck out to me, Plato, Missouri, which is right along I-44. I thought, well, where did they come up with that name? Sure enough, back in the 1800s, they named it after the philosopher. They wanted a town of thinking men. That's how the whole thing started. But then the one that just really cracks me up more than anything, the most conservative county in the state of Missouri, I think it went almost 80% for Donald Trump in the last election, has a town called Liberal. And it was designed by George Walser, who had envisioned an atheist utopia. He even said, no person could live in a Christian community, express an honest opinion regarding the Christian religion, adverse to the interest of priestcraft without hazardizing his business and social standing. So he envisioned this liberal atheist utopia. And now, no churches, no bars were in the original design. And now the last time I was there, my brother lived there. That's all that's left is churches and some bars and a small grocery store. So it's funny how that name is in that county, which went 80% for the Republican in the last election.
As they say, the best laid plans.
Right. Didn't work out so well for Walser.
And all of that. Karen, what are some of the favorite things, aside from those that you've mentioned, that really caught your interest?
Naturally, my favorite section of the book was the animal section. But I think one of the best parts about writing that section for me was writing about the native Missouri animals. Because, of course, we include a lot of famous Missouri animals, some of the animals that I take care of at the zoo, like Cully the polar bear or Huck, you know, one of the new grizzly bears. They're included in the book. But we also included a lot of native animals because I think it's really important for kids to learn about what kind of wildlife they have in their own backyard. So, you know, they may not know that possums, an animal that we think of as kind of not a fun one to have around, you know, kind of a lot of people think they're gross. They're good mousers. Yeah. Well, they're the only marsupial found in North America, which is kind of a cool fact. Everyone loves kangaroos and koalas and other marsupials, but we have one right here in our backyards, and they're a really useful species to have around. Otters are a conservation success story. I know that could be kind of a controversial story, but, you know, that's a conservation success that we've had in Missouri. Bringing otters from 50 to 15,000 is a pretty impressive statistic. And so I think it's important for kids to learn about what we have here that makes our state special.
We're going to have to take a break. Let's do that now and come back and talk about some of the other things that are included in the book. There is a great deal to talk about, and we'll do it when we come back. Carolyn Miller is our guest. She is the co-author, along with John Brown, of Missouri Almanac 2018-2019. We'll come back, continue the conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. We're back with Carolyn and John talking about Missouri Almanac 2018-2019. John, this is billed as an education tool. Mm-hmm. How does it become a tool rather than an entertainment?
Well, I think when kids get to see some of the, I use the term, whether it's right or not, the Cliff's Notes version of some of these historical areas and some of the other things around the state of Missouri. I find, especially with my daughter, this was interesting because she picked up the book and she started looking through some of the sections. Next thing you know, she's on the internet researching more about what she saw here. So it's a tool in that it gets people interested in maybe a small snippet of the state of Missouri, and that might pique their interest to go even further. I know people have used my previous book, and now they're using this one for the fourth grade Missouri History Project. The teachers tell me time and time again, you know, we're tired of seeing the same 10 people, the famous Missourians, every year. Books like this give them a wealth of options to choose from. And it's neat that now they have something else to where they can see, you know, like the guy who invented the LED. So anytime you hit the alarm clock in the morning, right, there's a Missourian behind that. And so just little things like that, it piques their interest. Then they see that these things can be done, and then more research comes after that. So This whets the appetite, and then they can go from there.
And, Carolyn, there are lots of games and puzzles to kind of keep the young ones moving along and interested.
That's right. I think of it as kind of a great road trip book. It's a good backseat driver book.
Are we there yet, book?
Yeah. So I can just picture kids, you know, yelling up from the backseat, hey, did you know that, you know, soybeans are the most important crop in Missouri? And they can fill out the crossword puzzles and the word seek and finds and things like that. It's a good entertainment for a road trip across the state.
Like the coldest place and the hottest place in the state of Missouri, right? It's the same town. That was interesting.
Who would have thought, right?
Warsaw, Missouri.
They've had
the highest high temperature, right, and the lowest low temperature. So little things like that, you're like, wow, I wonder why that is.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned Warsaw, Missouri. Missouri has a lot of towns that are named for other countries.
They certainly do.
Yeah.
And when I was looking into that, it certainly was, in many cases, people who would be on the train from there, you know, from wherever it was, heading west to find their fortune. And they would get here, they'd establish the town, they'd establish the post office, and then name it after whatever part of Germany they were from. So sure enough, many of the names that we see here were homages to wherever the people came from that were the first ones to get there and plant the post office.
You know, I'd heard a funny story about the town of Mexico, Missouri.
Yeah.
and the story was that for people who are making their way west and then south, There was a stake in the road at some point saying Mexico, that way. And suddenly a town grew up there, so they called it Mexico.
And there's another story with that one. There was a train there, and people got so sick of the train. They were heading to Mexico or, you know, the new Mexico they were thinking of. They'd been on the train for 3 or 4 days, and they're like, kids, get off. Where are we? Mexico. This is far enough. We're not going any further. We've been on this train enough.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about state parks and another area, Carolyn, that was in your portfolio in this project.
Sure.
What can you tell us about the way they're presented in the book?
You know, like I mentioned before, I think the book can really be used as a guidebook if you're wanting to visit various state parks around Missouri. We tried to include several different places you could go around the St. Louis area, as well as the Kansas City area and everywhere in between. So, you know, around here we have Babbler, we have Hahn State Park, we have, you know, Katy Trail Park, Castlewood, some favorite places that you can visit within easy driving distance of St. Louis. You know, we have Elephant Rocks, Haha Tonka. All of those places are covered in the book. There's some beautiful photography, I think, in the outdoors section that showcases really Missouri's beauty. We do have a really lovely state, and we want to encourage kids and families to get out there and enjoy the natural aspects of Missouri. And I think the Almanac does a great job of highlighting that.
Who did the photography for you?
We all found photographs for each of our sections, and that was, I would say, from my perspective, the most challenging part of this project was finding good quality photos to represent each topic, because we cover such a broad range of topics. So we needed to have the rights to these photos, and we needed them to be great quality. So honestly, for the outdoor section, I relied on some of my photographer friends from the zoo who are volunteer photographers from the zoo, and they also go to state parks and things like that and take some great photos. And so I used a lot of their work.
That's funny, because there were some places that we could not find pictures, even in the public domain. So I haven't even seen – I forgot to look back at that. I had to drive to Tightwad, Missouri, and take a picture of the sign of Tightwad.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm like, where are we going? Road trip. It was just me, because no one would go with me to Tightwad, but we made it.
What's the story of Tightwad, as if I couldn't guess?
It was just a guy there. You know, there's several – just like most Missouri names, it seems there are several reasons why. And it was a guy who owned a business there, and vendors would come in. He wouldn't pay him, and it became known as the Village of the Tightwad. And so now, whether or not that's actually how it got recorded in the Missouri Almanac or the Missouri the documentation they have there, who knows? Everybody's got a different – but that was the one that stuck with this town, because the guy that owned the general store was a Tightwad.
And they say people will go specifically to Tightwad to open a bank account just so they can write their checks from Tightwad, Missouri.
That's like Christmas, Indiana.
Right,
people like
yeah.
to have their cards mailed.
Exactly.
I was reacquainted very briefly in the book with the town of Purdy, which I had not thought of in quite a while. But Purdy has its own interesting history. John,
you know what? I don't think Purdy was in mine. I don't remember the Purdy part of it.
Just one fact. It is unusual laws, and dancing was not allowed in Purdy.
Oh, okay. In the unusual law section. Yes. I was like, wait a second. I don't think I researched Purdy, but it's a Purdy part of town.
I don't know if the law is still in effect, but there are some very unusual ones in the books.
The laws were pretty funny. I was pretty amused by the laws. I think...
What was it? No cattle grazing on airport runways or something
I
like
think
that?
My favorite
which
was
makes sense.
No eating clam chowder between like 11:58 and 12:35 a.m. or something like that on a Sunday. Like,
right. Milkmen aren't allowed to run. I don't know why they would.
No, no being worried by squirrels, I think, was one of them.
Hey,
and I don't know how people
knew
if you were worried
about squirrels. There were valid reasons
back
then for those. We just don't know now why.
Right.
The name – we talked earlier, John, or started to talk about famous people. And Missouri has a bunch of them. I think it would surprise a lot of people generally how many well-known people come from here.
Well, and that was my first book. It was called Missouri Legends. Yep. And it came out the first stint I was here in town. And that list started because as I moved around, I would write down the famous people from all these different towns. And it was so funny as I was trying to get it into book form is I would show publishers this list of names, you know, like Sheryl Crow. And you just go down – people you would never think were from here. And everybody – all these publishers would look at the list and they say, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Don't want to publish it. Mm-hmm. And finally, Reedy Press, Josh saw the list. He's like, this is amazing. And we got it into press, and it went crazy the first couple of years. It was so cool to see that out. And so this has a few of the famous people from there as well. But what this also led me to was, you know, little tangents. Like I started keeping a list of all the Missourians who play in the NBA right now. You know, there are 8 major NBA stars right now from Missouri. People may not realize that. 24 in the NFL, 14 in Major League Baseball. And, you know, and then that led to the next one. Well, has St. Louis really lost more professional sports franchises than any other city in the country? And yes, we have. We've lost so many here. And so it's just funny how one line of research takes you to this way. And then you find out this piece of information. And to me, as a Missouri historian, that's the kind of stuff I love, these goose chases to see where they lead.
Who do you think is the most famous Missourian?
Ooh, boy, I guess it would be genre in that case. Of course, Harry Truman, you'd have to go right off the bat there. Somebody like a Brad Pitt would arguably be one of the most famous Missourians.
I would argue from my English major perspective that Mark Twain would be on there.
And so, and that's what's fun is all the different genres of who's had Walt Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, I've written three books on Walt Disney at this point. And, you know, even when you go to Main Street, we're going to be in Orlando next week. You walk through Main Street right there in Disney World, and it is – you know, it harkens back to his time here in Missouri.
Do you get into at all the story about his wanting to build Disney World, Disneyland, or whatever downtown?
That's great, because I used to give speeches about that. Yeah. And, yeah, some of it's true. It wasn't all about Anheuser-Busch wanting him to serve alcohol. That was part of it. But the real reason that Walt Disney moved down there is he studied interstates. And so he first got interested in the Arch area because he looked at the map and saw all these interstates coming together. He said, man, that's going to be a great spot right there. At the same time he was debating building some sort of indoor theme park here, he was also buying up land like crazy in Orlando under all these different names that would become characters in some of his movies. And by the time he put all that together, he realized for a theme park, you need 12 months out of the year as opposed to St. Louis. And what killed the deal here, from what I found, is the city of St. Louis refused to float a bond issue. It was like $20,000 in bonds to help him build this. And even back then, the city leader said, not for sure that's going to go. And when he got pushback from the city, he said, that's fine. I own all these acres in Florida right now. And he saw all the interstates coming together there as well and said, that's my spot. The famous X on the map stories. He was flying back the day Kennedy was killed. He was in a private airplane flying out of Orlando, out of Tampa. He crossed an area, saw where they were building I-4 and I-75, saw all this area and said, that's it right there. Put the X on the map. And by the time he landed in Dallas, he had found out the news.
Well, that makes more – that story
it's
makes
amazing.
More sense. Yeah.
Right. It's amazing how all that came together. And there are parts of truth to all the stories we've heard around St. Louis for all those years. But even Walt Disney realized in St. Louis, yeah, we'll probably serve alcohol there. So that wasn't what killed the deal in the end.
Let's turn back to the world of animals, Carolinda, which is your area of expertise in many ways. You offer kind of a service in the book, too, with regard to organizations that are helpful to animals, as I understand it.
That's true. Yeah. So we have a lot of great organizations in Missouri that are helping animals. So a few that we tried to include in the book were Wildlife Rescue, which we have, you know, right here in Baldwin. Some of the organizations that help stray animals and pets, like Gateway Pet Guardians and the Humane Society of Missouri, the APA, those are all included. And, of course, the St. Louis Zoo, Kansas City Zoo, Dickerson Park Zoo, Grants Farm, those are all in there as well. So we do have a lot of organizations here helping animals. We tried to include some sort of heartwarming animal stories, animal heroes, Trooper the Pit Bull, the puppy that was dragged down the highway in 2012 and made a recovery and is now in his forever home. He's in the book. Lily, a search and rescue dog, and Joplin after the big tornado there. She's included as well. So we have quite a few hero animals featured.
A labor of love for you, I think.
yes. I loved working on that part of the book. We're constantly keeping notes for the next edition, and I have definitely quite a few animals that didn't make the cut this time that could definitely go in next time.
Is there any one part of Missouri that, and I'll start with you, John, is more influential overall, do you think, from what you've learned, that more famous people from this part of Missouri as opposed to Kansas City, the center part, more inventions, that sort of thing?
You know, it all goes back to the population centers. It was, even when putting together my previous books, just the sheer number of people from St. Louis and the opportunities that you had here, especially turn of the century into the mid-1900s. St. Louis dominated as far as people are concerned. But other areas that kind of surprised me, I think it's just the random person out of a small town, you know, like the guy who invented the LED light bulb. It's just little things like that. It's a town of, you know, 10 people. And somebody comes out of a town like that, and I think that's pretty inspirational to a lot of people. You know, early in the 1900s, all the springs around the state of Missouri were such a draw for people around the country because they were called the Healing Springs, from El Dorado Springs, Welch Springs. And so it's funny, certain periods of time, there were parts of Missouri that were more influential than others. And so when the big health movement started in the early 1900s, we became a mecca for health-conscious people. So you had a boom, and then it kind of went away. So areas go through time.
It shifted.
Yeah.
We have only about a minute and a half left, guys. Anything you want to add that we haven't talked about that you think is important, Carolyn?
You know, I think we've covered a lot of it. I just think, you know, the Almanac is a great tribute to our state. I think one of the strongest points of the book was that of the team of five authors, you know, three were from St. Louis and two were from Kansas City. So we tried to represent the entire state of Missouri and everything in between and just really kind of brag about, you know, what we have going on here that's pretty special.
John, what do we need to know that you haven't mentioned?
You know, same kind of thing with her, though. You know, who should read the book? I think it's great for everybody because of that inferiority complex I talked about earlier, where you don't realize so many great things and so many miraculous events and amazing people have come from here. And I think it's motivational for kids. But even when I look through it, some of the parks you talked about again, I'm like, that's how we're going to plan our summer vacation. We're going to go to some of these parks that are in there. So yeah, across the board, there's a lot of great stuff to do, a lot of great places to see, and I think this is a great place to start with it.
Very quickly, time is limited. How can teachers use the book?
Many different areas, I think. You know, they can use it when they're doing one of the zoological parts, when they're talking about people, again, like I said, for fourth grade history. But really, they can incorporate it almost to any topic they're talking about.
And within a couple of weeks, a book should be available everywhere, Carolyn, following the fire and the loss thereof.
Yes, exactly. They are, I know, at Barnes & Noble and the Missouri History Museum gift shop right now, and hopefully everywhere books are sold shortly.
Great job on it. It's a fun book to look at. Thank you so much, Carolyn Miller and John Brown.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Good luck with sales of the book.
Thank you.
They are co-authors of Missouri Almanac 2018-2019. This is St. Louis on the Air, St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.